I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. My partner Terry is a workaholic. That man never stops working for the kingdom of Christ. He's out there doing some apostolic work, so I'm going to be a one-man show today. And I'm going to try to really pick you up and give you a perspective on how as Catholics we should be living right now under this pandemic, in this political election season. As a Catholic, let me give you a couple of pointers. As a Catholic, we should heed the words of St. Padre Pio. He says, quote, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. Did you catch that? Worry is useless. God is merciful and God will hear your prayer. Here on the Terry and Jesse Show, we try to put the spotlight of truth upon the culture of death. And we consider ourselves, we're like a lighthouse in the midst of this gathering storm. And really our motto is, we've got to pray America great again. Let me repeat that. We've got to pray America great again. That's what we have to do as Catholic Christians. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 105 years old, God from all eternity chose you to be where you're at this time in history to change the world. That's why I ask you, pull up a chair and listen to us every day, because on the Terry and Jesse Show, we're going to give you CPR. Yep, CPR. Catholic Prayer Revival, Catholic Prayer Renaissance. And that's exactly what we're going to do here, because we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, boy, oh boy, we'd be millionaires. Because what is hope? Hope is believing in the promises of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let me repeat that again. What is the virtue of hope? Hope is the virtue of believing in the promises of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? Faith is what gets you started. Hope is what keeps you going. And love is what brings you to the end. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we don't get accused of in the Terry and Jesse Show, we don't hold back from the truth. We do not shy away from the truth, as unpopular as it may be. I remember Mother Angelica, who I believe will be a saint one day, she said, those who tell you the truth love you. Those who tell you what you want to hear love themselves. Did you catch that? Mother Angelica said, rest in peace, those who tell the truth love you, and those who do not tell the truth, those who tell you what you want to hear love themselves. And again, if you're breathing and you got two legs, you are called to holiness. Let's take a look at today's gospel. Thursday. Today's holy gospel. Today's the feast of Saint Bernard. Saint Bernard, pray for us. Saint Bernard, by the way, he fostered the renewal of the monastic life through the Cistercian observance of the rule of Saint Benedict, which uses Psalm 15 to describe the holiness required of one who seeks to dwell in God's presence. So what does Psalm 15 say? It says, Lord, who shall be admitted to your tent and dwell on your holy mountain? He who walks without fault, he who acts with justice and speaks the truth from his heart, he who does not slander with his tongue, he who does no wrong to his brother, who casts no slur on his neighbor, who holds the godless in disdain, but honors those who fear the Lord. He who keeps his pledge come what may, who takes no interest on a loan and accepts no bribes against the innocent. Wow, think about that. Accepts no bribes against the innocent. Such a man will stand firm forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. That's the Cistercian observance of the rule of St. Benedict, where they meditate on Psalm 15, what I just read to you. But let me tell you a little bit about St. Bernard, the saint of the day. He was born at Fontaine, France, of a large devout family, and at the age of 22, he convinced 31 of his friends and relations to join him at Citeu, which is an abbey of the Cistercian Reform. And in 1115, he founded Clairvaux, the source of 68 other monastic foundations. Princes and popes sought this saint's advice, and numerous young men responded to his personal invitation to the monastic life, including one who became Pope Eugene III. St. Bernard died in 1153 AD. His fervent preaching preserved for us in his letters and sermons, which has earned him the title of Doctor of the Church in 1830. And a Doctor of the Church is not somebody who went to some, modernist Catholic university and got a PhD. No, that's not a Doctor of the Church. That's a doctor. That's a PhD in man's eyes. A Doctor of the Church is a saint whose understanding of God, the interior life, prayer, theology — they did theology on their knees — and their understanding of God and the Catholic faith has taken the Catholic Church to new heights. They've broken the glass ceiling, if you will. And there's only 38 saints that have been given the title Doctor of the Church. Let's look at today's gospel. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priest and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet, my calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them." The king was enraged. The king is God the Father, by the way. "And sent his troops," those are the angels, "destroyed those murderers and burned their city." That actually happened when God, through his permissive will, allowed pagan Rome to go and sack the city of Jerusalem and the generation of people who put his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put him to death on a cross. It says, "Then the king said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come.'" Who's that a reference to? The Jews were invited first. They were the people of the oracles and covenants in the Old Testament. "As imperfect as they were, the covenant, as imperfect of those provisions and temporal promises, the fact is they were called first. The Gentiles were called next." This is what it's a reference to. We are the Gentiles called. We were like wild branches grafted onto the tree, as St. Paul would say to the Romans. The Bible says, "Go out therefore into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find." What's that a reference to? The Jews don't want to listen to the message of Christ. His own people rejected him, as it says in John chapter 1. He came to his own, and his own did not accept him. So what is God doing now? He's going out to the Gentile nations to bring them into where? Into the new covenant family of God, which is a new Israel, which is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. With all its imperfections and human failings, it is the new Israel of God. And God is bringing the Gentiles in so that Jew and Gentile can be part of the new covenant church under the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ, under the 12 apostles, which are now like the new 12 tribes of Israel. And this is now the worldwide church of Jesus Christ that was established for the salvation of every single man, woman, and child. We continue in the Bible. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. The servants, who are those? Ambassadors for Christ, disciples of Christ, you and I. But when the king came in, that's God the Father, to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. In other words, as God sees you, when you die at your particular judgment, you don't have your wedding garment. What does that mean? You're not in a state of grace. If you're not in a state of grace, like Taylor Marshall says, you're not on the team. Oh, by the way, I was on the Taylor Marshall show this morning. So if you want to hear also a very good podcast, Taylor and myself talked about the upcoming elections. You can listen to Taylor Marshall's show today on the podcast. I came on and we talked about the upcoming elections and the fact that this is basically all the marbles are riding on this election. We go back to today's gospel. And by the way, I thank Taylor Marshall for having me on. So the gospel says, but when the king came in, this is God the Father, to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment, not in a state of grace. He said to him, my friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? In other words, you can't get to heaven if you don't die in sanctifying grace. But he was reduced to silence. Then the king's attendant said to his attendants, bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen. In other words, if you die in mortal sin and you're in God's presence, God will banish you for all eternity because of your own choice, your own free will. You decided to reject God and die in mortal sin. Darkened intellect, darkened will, mortal sin in the soul, absence of God. And notice at the end, Jesus says, many are invited, few are chosen. Okay? Make sure you're part of the few that are chosen. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, and share this show with others. We'll be right back. Terry and Jesse Show. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism, the Terry and Jesse Show. My partner, Terry, Just like this guy's just a workhorse for the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't stop. He's out there doing apostolic work right now. I want to just give you some practical guidelines on how we should comport ourselves right now in this time of the time, strange times, confusing times. I dare say even evil times. The fact is that as Catholics, we're no strangers to danger. Okay, Catholicism has been, again, on the firing line since the very first century. And as a Catholic, let's just remember and let's just keep things in perspective and remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, he's told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 27, he's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Okay? Don't worry about tomorrow. I've got this. That's what he tells us in Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 27. Worry about today. Be holy today. Get holy today. Pray today. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. In fact, St. Paul feared nothing, not even death. You can see that St. Paul even longed to die and to be with Christ. He says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says in Romans chapter 14, verse 8, if I live, I live for the Lord. If I die, I die for the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. What are we afraid of as Catholics? If you're in a state of grace and you die, even of the coronavirus, guess what? You've won more than the lottery. You hit the biggest jackpot in the world. That's exactly why the early Catholic martyrs, they all saw death as a positive option. I do. Don't you? I long to be with Christ. I really do. Don't be afraid of the coronavirus or anything else. This virus, just like any other flu, people die during flu season. What else is new? In fact, more people, again, are dying of depression, suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, and many people are dying without the last rites. Can you imagine that? Dying without the last rites possibly means that many people are going to hell. That's far worse than the COVID-19 Wuhan communist Chinese virus. Dying without the last rites and going to hell is worse than dying of this virus. Because if you die of this virus and you die in a state of grace, you win. You're going to take that victory lap forever with your hands raised up in the air like you won a marathon and you broke all records. That's what happens if you die in a state of grace. Yeah, there may be some purgatory for most of us, but the fact is, let's keep this in perspective. Our days on planet Earth are numbered. Yes. That's what the Holy Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 16. And in Job chapter 14, verses 5 to 6, our days on planet Earth are numbered. It doesn't matter if you're hitting the gym every day and running and doing a Peloton or doing a CrossFits. It doesn't matter if you're a vegan and just eating, just juicing all day. It doesn't matter. God has an appointed day where you're going to die. There's nothing you can do to extend that one day further. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. Again, the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 27. I'm paraphrasing. He's saying, there is nothing we can do to extend our time on planet Earth, not even one day. I don't care how many times you wash your hands, wear a mask, or self-quarantine. So let's not be overcome by fear. Let's be overcome by faith. That's the first point I want to make. And by the way, if you like what you hear, you like the Terry and Jesse Show, then go ahead and like us. Okay? Like us. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell to be notified when we come on. And then share this show with other people. That's how we can grow this show and give people that message of hope. Okay, let me go back to our country. I love this country. I'm a patriot. But this is a nation right now that's divided. It's split in half, the culture of life versus the culture of death. Sons of darkness and sons of light. The United States of America is a nation adrift right now, and it can sink into oblivion. What do I mean by that? Remember April 1912, the largest and the strongest ocean liner called the Titanic? It set out on its voyage, right? Everybody thought it was unsinkable. But we all know what happened. It sank, claiming more than 1,500 lives. And less than 20 miles away was the Californian ship that could have come to its rescue, but the radio operator had fallen asleep on duty. So like the Titanic, our great ship has gone adrift. And people have fallen asleep morally. And we're headed for a fateful collision. Many people feel that the USA is unsinkable. But the truth of the matter is that we're in grave danger. And God has given us the church to alert our country of its danger. The church is supposed to be the moral conscience of government. As the Bible says, the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. St. John Paul II has told us, rest in peace, and pray for us, by the way. He's told us what we must do. He laid it out in a 7-point plan in his apostolic constitution called As We Enter the Third Millennium. As We Enter the Third Millennium. St. John Paul II said, number one, as Catholics in any country you live in, first and foremost, we're called to be holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. All of us are called to be holy, which means to think like Jesus, to love Jesus, and act like Jesus. That's a tall order. I get it. I fail all the time. That's why I thank God for the act of contrition for my venial sins. I thank God for the holy water to remit my venial sins and for the sacrament of confession for mortal sins. The second thing St. John Paul II called us to in this document as we enter the third millennium, he's called all of us Catholics to a life of prayer, which he calls a conversation that is talking and listening to God as God speaks to us through his word, through his church, and the inward prophetic flow of insights and understandings that the Holy Spirit puts into our minds and hearts, as the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The third point, St. John Paul II, his apostolic constitution calls us to a deeper devotion to the Holy Eucharist and to Eucharistic adoration so that Christ may truly nurture our souls with great wisdom, holiness, and love. The fourth point in the apostolic constitution by St. John Paul II, he's calling us to frequent the sacrament of confession. He's calling us to frequent the sacrament of confession so that our consciences may experience the cleansing power of Christ's blood. So that our consciences may experience the cleansing power of Christ's blood. The fifth thing St. John Paul II's apostolic constitution calls us to. He's calling us to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, which means a real openness to the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give you. God wants them to give them to you, and God will decide what gifts he wants to give. If he's given you the gift of teaching, praise God, use it. If he's given you the gift of preaching, praise God, use it. Of counseling, praise God, use it. The sixth thing that St. John Paul II's apostolic constitution calls us to. St. John Paul II is asking us to frequently meditate upon God's word as revealed, especially through the scriptures and the catechism. And the seventh thing that St. John Paul II's apostolic constitution calls us to, He's calling us to a new evangelization so that we might bring the light of the gospel to a darkened world that needs it desperately. I remember not too long ago, Pope Francis said the following about lukewarm Christians. He said this, quote, lukewarm Christians without courage hurts the church so much because this tepid atmosphere draws you inside, close quote. That was from Pope Francis. He's absolutely spot on. This is the tradition of the church. We've all seen the damage of lukewarm Catholicism. It's a bland and an inward-focused catechesis centered on a false niceness. Be nice, be nice. That's not the gospel. Lukewarm Catholicism is afraid to discuss suffering and sin. Lukewarm Catholicism seems to forget that God redeems suffering and that our victory comes from the cross. Not away from the cross. Our victory comes from the cross. Lukewarm Catholicism is so dangerous. Here's what the Bible says in Revelation 3:15 and 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, says the following quote. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Close quote. Pope St. Pius V, he also said, all the evils of the world are due to lukewarm Catholics. Pope St. Pius X said, all the strength of Satan's reign is due to the easygoing weakness of Catholics. Pope Leo XIII says this in 1890, for nothing emboldens the wicked so greatly as the lack of courage on the part of the good. The lack of courage on the part of the good. Our Lady of Good Success in 1582 said to a nun the following about lukewarmness. Our Lady said, quote, if only human beings and religious knew what heaven is and what it is to possess God, how differently they would live, sparing no sacrifice in order to enter more fully into possession of it. But some let themselves be dazzled by the false glamour of honors and human greatness. We'll continue talking about the dangers of being a lukewarm Catholic. My name is Jesse Romero. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
The Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Catholics, I'm talking about the dangers of being a lukewarm Catholic. You know, lukewarm people are going to have a lot of friends in this lifetime, but they're not going to have any friends in the next. Lukewarm Catholics are going to be very popular in this lifetime. All those lukewarm Catholic politicians, but they're not going to have any friends in the next life. Pope Leo XIII said, Our Lady of Good Success said the following quote. Some human beings let themselves be dazzled by the false glamour of honors. Wow, that reminds me of actors and actresses and entertainers. Some human beings let themselves be dazzled by the false glamour of honors and human greatness, while others are blinded by self-love, not realizing they are falling into lukewarmness, that immense evil which in religious houses destroys their fervor, humility, self-renunciation, and the ceaseless practice of religious virtues and fraternal charity, and that childlike simplicity which makes souls so dear to my divine son and to me, their mother. Close quote. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave St. Faustina an intention to pray for on each day of the Novena of the Divine Mercy. Our Lord Jesus Christ asked us to pray on the ninth and last day of the Novena, the most difficult intention of all. He told St. Faustina to pray for the lukewarm and indifferent of whom he said, quote, this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to St. Faustina. He says this, quote, these souls, these lukewarm souls, caused me more suffering than any others. It was from such souls that my soul felt the most revulsion in the Garden of Olives. It was on their account that I said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. The last hope of salvation for them is to flee my mercy. The last hope of salvation for them is to flee to my mercy. Close quote. Mediocrity is not an option in our love for God. Our walk in this life as Christians, it's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle towards heaven. If you don't stop moving forward, you don't just stand still. You start moving backwards. That's the law in the Christian life. That's the law in the spiritual life. The lukewarm will have many friends in this world, but will ultimately live in darkness without any friends. Never be lukewarm. Life itself demands passion. And if a Catholic is indifferent to God, he's already forfeited his soul. Whoever's indifferent to politics has already forfeited their liberty. Because in America, religion is not mere window dressing and citizenship. And citizenship is not just a spectator's sport. Do not allow our common destiny as American people to just happen without your input. Nothing good can come from the religious cleansing of the Catholic Christian faith in America. Government-imposed secularism is just another form of tyranny. Let me give you seven things that we should be doing as these elections ramp up. Number one, pray. Pray. Pray to God and Our Lady and the angels and the saints. to give us the wisdom and the courage to understand his plan and pray that God will change or remove godless men and women from positions of leadership. But not only in politics, but also in the legal, the medical, and entertainment professions. Pray for the conversion of those in the media, the mainstream media, those who promote darkness. Pray that they'll promote goodness and virtue instead of vice and evil. And pray that God will provide healing and transformation for our families, our schools, our children, and our institutions. And pray that God will give each one of us the courage to be authentically obedient Catholic Christians. And let's pray that our nation will become one nation under God again, that it may reflect God's principles in our homes, in our schools, in our marriages, in our parishes, in our newspapers, in our movies, and in our courts. Prayer is firing the winning shot. I'll say it again. Prayer is firing the winning shot. The second thing, number two, become informed. Just as untrained soldier is at the mercy of his enemy, the uninformed low information Catholic is incapable of prevailing against the forces of evil in the world of politics. In order to serve God and country, we must learn how to use the existing political process for God's work. So it would be wise that each one of us would pick out a specific area. For example, the reform of our schools, or the reform of the media, or the reform of our families, or the reform of our youth. Be willing to read and study the issues with a Catholic mindset, and filter everything you read and study through the lenses of God's Word. And write letters, you know, to public access channels and local cable companies. Be willing to meet with local politicians and network with like-minded people. Be willing to communicate with elected representatives. Number three, register to vote. This is such a simple process, and yet many Catholics do not register. And if they do register, a vast majority don't vote. Don't take this for granted. There's a history of voting that most people forget. In 1776, the only people that could vote in America were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, male property owners over 21 years old. Did you catch that? In 1776, the only people that could vote in America were white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male property owners over 21 years old. But in 1868, after the Civil War was fought and won, the Republicans added the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, allowing African Americans the right to vote. And in 1920, the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote. And in 1971, amid the Vietnam War, the 26th Amendment to the Constitution lowered the voting age from 21 to 18. Point number four, seek out and support men and women of integrity. Encourage people of integrity to get involved in the political process and run for office. Or you run for office. When Christians fail to influence the political process, the society is given over to the forces of evil, and those that believe in God are left unprotected. You can get involved for potential candidates with phone campaigns, letter writing, and contributions. Or you can hold a town hall meeting and invite the parishioners at your church to attend. Number five, help your pastor to inform church members. I do this, every parish that I'm at, I do this by keeping my pastor and parishioner friends well informed on the issues facing us and what we can do. And also in the back of the church's vestibule, I put free pamphlets entitled A Catholic Guide in the Voting Booth from different good Orthodox organizations. Number six, the contribution of your time, talent, and treasure. Every successful campaign needs many volunteers to donate time, energy, and financial assistance. Things such as advertising and printing and office supplies and postage and telephones. You have to be willing to sacrifice yourself for a cause greater than yourself. And number seven, letter writing. Be willing to write to your senator, to your representative, to your mayor, to your school board, and to your political officers. Be willing to give praise where praise is merited and gentle correction where it is due. And write often. It's easy now because of email and because of all other social media platforms. Write often, know your subject, and be specific. I'm reminded of the words of Everett Hale. back in, passed away in 1909. He said the following, and they apply today and to everybody. He says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. A church which is married to the spirit of the age will be a widow in the next. I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said that. And having pondered Catholicism and politics and the culture wars for many years, I know that as a baptized Catholic Christian, the most essential issue for me is to stop abortion and to advance the cause of the gospel of life, which is the name of an encyclical penned by St. John Paul II, the gospel of life. I am obligated to speak up and tell the truth as if my salvation depends on it, because it does. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. Catholics don't give up. And as Patrick Henry, as he said, one of the pioneers of this country, he says, quote, we are not weak if we make proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave. Close quote. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to St. Faustina in paragraph 1760 of the diary, know that you're on a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching you. Fight like a knight so I can reward you. Do not be unduly fearful, because you are not alone. Thank you, Jesus, that we're not alone. Thank you that you don't leave us. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Yep, we must be in this fight for the long haul, because in God's name, we will prevail. Because the victory is already ours. The victory is already ours. Okay? Let me just take my gloves off. I'm too old and I'm too tired, and I don't care anymore about playing silly games. What we're witnessing right now before our very eyes is the destruction of Western civilization by the secular leftist Marxist. And it's time we tell them loudly, get your jackboot off my Catholic neck. The question of the hour is, will this November, will we continue to be again a nation under God, or a nation under secular humanist domination? We've got to wake up. We got to rise up. We got to put an end to the indoctrination of our children by the secular humanist godless culture and these purveyors of death. We got to protect our homes, our families, our values, our religion, and our nation. The time is now. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? Be right back.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Cicero once warned us. He says, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat their mistakes. We cannot repeat our mistakes in the past. This move towards socialism / communism, we've seen this tried before in other countries, and it's utterly failed. It's made shipwreck of those nations. And for the sake of our children, we as Catholics have to fight back. These are hard times for loyal Catholics, to be sure. The media assaults us. Our culture of death mocks us. And dissenters called modernists or cafeteria Catholics undermine us from within the ranks of the church. But let's remember, Holy Mother Church was founded by Jesus Christ. And he founded the church upon the rock, who was Peter, and he promised that the gates of hell would never prevail against the church. And they haven't. And they won't. The Catholic Church is the oldest institution in the Western world, perhaps the entire world. And the church has been attacked before, from within and outside, for 21 centuries. And the church has prevailed over wicked people, such as wicked Roman emperors and heretics. The church has prevailed over Alaric the Barbarian King, Attila the Hun, Genseric the Vandal King, the Visigoth invaders. The church has prevailed against Muhammad and the Muslim Crusades, which lasted 8 centuries. The church has prevailed against the corrupt kings of England, the Mongolian invaders, the intellectual arguments of the Protestant reformers. The church has prevailed against Ivan the Terrible, the first Russian Tsar. The church has prevailed against the Jacobin regime of the French Revolution. The church has prevailed against Napoleon Bonaparte, Charles Darwin, King Mwanga, the Japanese imperialist shoguns, who were military dictators. The church has prevailed against the Chinese Ming Dynasty, the Chinese Communist Party, Benito Mussolini, Vladimir Lenin, Primo de Rivera, Manuel Azaña, and the Spanish Popular Front in Spain. The church has prevailed against Joseph Stalin, Plutarco Calles, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, Islamofascism, liberalism, modernism, and the Catholic Church has buried and outlasted all her enemies. Students of Catholic history, you're well aware of the Church's well-known and often demonstrated ability to revive herself after periods of decline. And just like the phoenix bird, the church rises again out of the ashes. The times that we're living in right now require us to know our Catholic faith, because you cannot live your faith if you do not know it. And you cannot share your faith with others if you do not make the faith your own first. Point 2, live your Catholic faith. Your Catholic faith is a public thing. It is not to be left behind when you leave your home. And number three, spread your Catholic faith. Spread your Catholic faith. Jesus wants to bring the whole world into captivity to the truth. And the truth is Jesus himself, who is the way and the truth and the life. And don't be discouraged by the enormity of the task that lies ahead of us. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta recognized that her efforts and those of her fellow Sisters of Charity were, in her own words, she says this, quote, "Our efforts are a drop in a vast ocean of need," close quote. And even though she knew her efforts were nothing but a drop in the ocean, she never wavered from her commitment to Christ. And that's why her legacy lives on today. This is our Esther moment, Catholics. We were destined for such a time as this, and we have to rise to the occasion. The time for wavering is over. The time for playing with sin is over. Whatever is in your life that is preventing you from the high calling given to you, which is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the church militant, well, guess what? That high calling given to you, the time is now to follow it and to remove sin and evil from your life. There's no choice for us. We have to all say, like Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord." Whatever it is then in the future, whatever it is, then bring it on. Because we will not waver. We will keep our hands on the steering wheel. Don't go to the left or go to the right. Keep your hands on that wheel and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. We will follow the Lord Jesus Christ and not bow down our knees to the false gods of this world. We will only bow to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's it. I'm reminded of the words of Winston Churchill back in June 18th, 1940, as Hitler's Nazi war machine, with its superior air force and radio technology, put the Nazis at an advantage, and they were steamrolling one European country after another. Churchill saw the unstoppable German military machine, and he gave this speech in the House of Commons to rally the spirit of the English people. He said the following, quote, "The Nazis know that they will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, Hitler, all Europe may be free and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit uplands. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour. I dare say 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, will your family say, because you lived in this time and you fought the good fight of faith, will people say about you, this was mom and dad's finest hour?" In 1940, as Adolf Hitler and the Nazi war machine, they swept across Europe, this one man stood between Hitler's seemingly invincible army and crushing defeat. His name was Winston Churchill. He was a renowned British. And as a result of him, of Winston Churchill's actions, people are free everywhere. As Catholics, Joshua made the challenge to the Israelites. He says, quote, "And if it seems evil until you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, Israelites, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Close quote. Yes. It's God's prerogative to determine and to declare good and evil. It's our job. Our job is to obey, not to define our own morality. And by saying, "Oh, now, I'm against abortion, but I'm personally against abortion, but I can't stop it, even though I want to run for president." The lack of moral absolutes is the root of immoral behavior. As Ronald Reagan said about America, America's a shining city upon a hill whose beacon light guides freedom-loving people everywhere. That's true today. And Ronald Reagan also said about America, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Things look pretty dark these days. But when do you see farther? In the day or in the night? I live in Arizona. You see farther into the sky in the dark. You see farther in the night. For in the night, you see the stars. You can't see them in the day. Yes, we're in darkness. But God will give us the grace to see him. God is our bright morning star. Jesus is our bright morning star, Revelation 22:16. And in the midst of this present darkness, as the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, the Lord Jesus Christ is our quiet song in the storm of life. Yes, we must be faithful to Jesus, prayerful, sacramental, vigilant, active, and brave. And let Jesus be like that honey on your lips. Let Jesus be like that melody at midnight. Let Jesus be that song in the storm of life. Our future will be shaped by those who stand up for Jesus and hold high the cross of Christ. The Catholic Church is here to stay. And with your help and by the grace of God, the Catholic Church will continue to advance faith, family, and freedom until Jesus Christ comes back, until the last trumpet sounds. My fellow Catholics, what gets me through all this election stuff? I keep reminding myself, before all the elections, Jesus is my Lord and Savior and God. During the campaigning, Jesus is my Lord and Savior and my God. After the elections, Jesus is always going to be my Lord and Savior and my God. That's what keeps me going. In the end, we have the certainty that truth will triumph over lies, that light will triumph over darkness, and good will triumph over evil. So stand firm, Catholics, and rush to the battle lines with Jesus in your heart, a rosary in one hand, a Bible in the other hand. We were born for such a time as this. No matter what political party's in control, we know that in the end, Jesus Christ wins. Viva Cristo Rey. He is our hope. If you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified when we're on, and share this show with other people. And remember, pray, hope, and don't worry. Wake up, America. Don't hit the snooze button. Make sure before we all drop dead, you leave it all out on the playing field. We need to stay informed and live in a state of grace and stand up for Jesus. Lift high the cross of Christ. God love you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.